Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, December 7th.
Yes.
Yes, December 7th is what, Tori?
It's a day. Oh, yes. That will live in infamy.
In infamy.
Wow, I'm glad I started that
way. Oh my God, I put you on the spot.
You sure did. Pearl Harbor anniversary.
75 years, in
that's
fact.
Right.
1941.
The day that will live in infamy.
Right. Brought us into the war, mm-hmm. World War II, in a most profound way, I would say, right?
Very.
It was a surprise like no other.
Surprise attack.
They brought us into the war. And thank goodness they did. I mean, I don't know what the world would look like today.
Exactly.
Without America getting involved,
I think we needed to at that point, and, you know.
We did.
Thank God we did.
We did. We're going to have a great guest on the phone in a few minutes talking about Be Your Own Brand of Sexy.
Sexy.
So we're...
Every time you say sexy, I'll say sexy.
Yeah, there you go, right? The special effect.
Yeah.
Yesterday we talked about dating and relationships too, about the science of love.
I thought that was great.
That was a great
interview,
I thought
that was
right?
A great show.
Yeah. So that was interesting. You guys should check it out from yesterday. We talked about the phases of relationship,
yes.
From dating, from attraction, dating, falling in love, and then real love.
Killing yourself. No, and then real love. So it was really fun, and we learned that men and women are scientifically very, very different,
right?
And why women become OCD about guys in a different way. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You know, I'm wondering if... I just got totally distracted. I hate when things happen on my screen. You know? Yeah. But I was wondering if it's true that when a woman has a first orgasm, she falls in love.
Well,
I don't think that's true.
Well, no, when she has sex, the chemicals go to love. It's okay. Not that I'm sure she needs to also, she said she also needs to want to see the guy again.
Right.
So there also is that, but the oxytocin comes right in then. So.
Yeah, right?
I mean, you're not a woman, man.
That's true. I don't know.
You have no idea.
But if that was the case, everybody would fall in love with everybody, you know?
I think there's maybe a flash.
Yeah, right?
Right.
So, yeah, but today we're going to talk about really empowering women and all that sort of thing. I guess they decided this would be relevant because the new movie 50 Shades Darker is coming out.
Ooh.
And we want to see. I guess they want to discuss whether this is empowering to women or degrading,
right.
That movie.
Right.
Did you see the movie?
No, and I didn't read the books.
Oh,
but
you didn't read the books?
No,
either.
But I know about it enough.
Right, exactly.
And hey, if you, it's do your own thing, dude.
Yeah.
You want to be tied up, be tied up.
Right,
what's
exactly,
wrong with
that? Right? Let people do whatever they
want. Whatever the heck they want.
Right.
Don't censor me.
Exactly. And if a woman wants to be degraded, then let her be degraded.
If a man wants to be submissive, let him be
exactly,
submissive.
Exactly. You know, I mean, my God, you know.
What are you doing?
All kinds of things to
fantasies
people.
And fetishes are very, you know, not, they're not, no, they're not. They're, let them be.
Yeah,
they're not harmful.
They're complex. You're right. As long as people don't get hurt.
Yeah.
It's
safe
a fine
word.
Thing. Yeah, safe word, right? Yeah. I don't know, man. I try to think how people get turned on by that stuff, but I think it's more a power play, you know?
Yeah.
And people connect it with sexuality.
Yeah.
It seems like people connect everything with sexuality, you know?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because when we're kids and we discover it, it's sort of a shocker to a kid, you
it's
know?
It's very confusing.
Right.
Very
so
weird.
Eventually, it just becomes like this big deal. And
but there are certain fetishes that I definitely don't get, like the foot thing, the foot fetish, or the balloon popping, or
right.
The paint food, or the food one where you're on your putting it on your partner's face and stuff.
Yeah, I know, but they
but that turns some people on.
It does,
man.
It does. You know, the foot fetish. There's also something related called trampling and
when you're stepping on people.
You're stepping
this
on people.
This is very strange.
You know,
Sam.
I mean, I don't understand that. But I think people really have like things that happen to them in childhood where they're connected with sexuality. So maybe a power play or something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there were an unequal power with someone you were attracted to or something, like to a teacher. Maybe.
Or it's just like, I wonder if we could get to the science of fetishes, because maybe it's just like your dreams when they're so random.
Right.
You know, maybe it's just like a combination. Like, what is the one? Furries. The furries are the greatest when they dress up as the mascot costumes and have sex with each other.
Well, furries?
Oh, they're called furries.
Yeah.
Oh, you should look it up. It's great. Furries are, you have to dress in like furry costumes.
Okay.
And you get turned on by other furry costumes.
Really?
And you have sex with furry costumes. And the funny part is, not the funny part, if you're a furry, good for you, but there's conventions. So if you stay at a hotel, there's a whole floor of furries.
Oh my
so
God.
So it gets very, I don't get that one, but God bless to anyone. Who am I to say no? Who am I?
I know.
I can't cast stones. My God.
I know. You know, this reminds me, on Howard Stern, they always bring people with strange fetishes and stuff. You know, like vomiting on them and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
that, which is disgusting, that's disgusting. Right? I'm going to judge you right then and
right,
there. Yeah.
You know, I mean, but but there's people that like, there's a convention for people that are obsessed with My Little Pony.
Okay.
Have
yeah.
you heard of that?
No, this is like the furries, though. It's
yeah.
like a toy. It's a childhood thing,
right.
I guess.
And they probably connect it with sex somehow.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
I mean, the tail was, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know what people do.
But you know what? It's great. There's enough people that are also like, who like My Little Pony, to have an actual fucking convention. That's amazing to me.
Yeah. And what about those unicorns? Have you heard of unicorns? They're like, supposedly they have... They're like free love.
You mean the name of the like a group of people?
Yeah, a group of people.
Oh, I was unicorns. Like, you mean the horse?
No, not the horse. Oh, have you heard of the unicorns? Because I don't know exactly what they are. But they supposedly have sex with both men and women. And
oh, panamorous.
Yeah,
sure.
That's what they are. Panamorous.
Yeah, they're just in love with love.
Exactly.
Hey, yeah. There's worse things in the world, people. There's a lot of shit going
that's
down.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
No,
some
loving everyone, that's better than hunger. How about,
Yeah.
You know, other things.
Yeah, no, I mean, hunger. You brought this up. Did you hear about the colleges having the problem of hunger among students?
No, tell me.
They're saying that about 35% of students are saying that they experience some kind of hunger, you know, in college because they don't have enough money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, on one college, they opened up a pantry or something.
Really?
A food pantry.
Oh, and that's awesome.
33 students visited to help make, and they left with bread, cereal, milk.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that sad, though?
That's so sad.
Wow.
Man, I just gained weight in college.
Really? Yeah.
Freshman 15.
You see, I mean, some people are just like, I don't think they plan well for college.
I cannot believe we push kids off the deep end at that age and
right,
say, goodbye.
Right?
I mean, who knows what they're...
They don't know how to live.
They do not know. And thank God I had gone to England and Oxford and studied abroad at 15, because what the hell did I know?
Right.
I didn't know what... I mean... I think it's absurd that we don't maybe have a gap. I mean, now we talked about this, the gap year, where you're like, okay, maybe I should find myself a little bit.
That makes sense.
My God,
you know?
It's crazy to just be like, you're on your own, eat everything. You got to plan everything. We're done. We're not even near you.
Right. Manage money. Things
everything.
Like that.
Classes, everything.
Done
yeah.
Before.
Yeah. Crazy.
You're right. Classes. But if you can't manage your money and you don't get a job while you're a student, you're going to be stuck hungry.
Yeah.
And that's terrible.
Horrible.
That's a terrible
My dad
thing.
Would wash at Yale. He would wash... What was it? He'd be the, you know, clean up, like the busboy, basically, to make his money for food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, you know. Yeah,
yeah. But I chose to, when I went to college, I went locally here to CSUN, to Cal State Northridge.
Nice.
And because I didn't want to spend a lot of money on college,
sure,
you know,
sure.
I wasn't in the position to, because I went to college back in later, like at the age of 26.
Oh, wow.
After having attempted a couple of years in college right after high school.
Right. And it was like, not for you.
Yeah, not for me. I'm not ready yet.
Right. And so many kids aren't ready yet. It's
right.
ridiculous.
But when I went back at the age of 26, man, I graduated with honors and everything.
Good for you. And that's how you should do it.
Yeah, because you go in seriously, thinking seriously about it, and as an adult.
Yeah, as an adult. Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't even say the word. It's hard to say the word.
Exactly. Adult. I almost choked on it.
An adult. It's hard. No, I remember just being like, what the hell is going on? And then sororities came up and they're like, do you want to rush? And I was like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And pledge. And I was like, no, I guess not. But had I done that, I would have had maybe a group of friends.
Right.
So I was at Michigan totally alone.
Wow.
And that led to the clinical depression. It really did.
So you
did.
Declined to.
I declined. And that's one of my two biggest regrets in life.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was a regret.
Yeah. I thought I was too smart and too snobby and too good for them. And what it turned out to be was like, that was the worst decision I could ever made.
You decided not to play with the boys and the girls.
But yeah, but they had a house. They had a house mother. They had each other. They had, you could live with each other. They had food. They had dinner every night. I don't know what the hell I was doing.
Yeah, you have that social cohesion, I think.
Yeah, especially for a school at 150,000 people.
Wow.
You gotta,
you feel alone.
You feel so alone. So like, what was I doing? Being like, I'll be cool. And I can make friends, but man, it was like tumbleweeds out there.
So for the entire stay there, it didn't occur to you, maybe I made a mistake?
Well, once I did and do it freshman year, it's not easy to do it sophomore, junior year. So what I did is junior year, I left to Italy and studied for the full year abroad as if it were a sorority. I just spent more money like at a really nice sorority.
Yeah, but at least you got a nice education.
Yes, I did.
And a good experience.
And a great experience. No, and my best friends I met there. But notice how I only met them because it was a smaller environment.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
It's more intimate,
So don't use humility. Do not go into that thinking you know what you're doing. I should have just been like, yeah, more people? Yeah, I'll go with them.
That's true, right?
You know, and usually you get, you hear the sorority thing, but they did great work. They did charity work. I could have done some awesome charity work. Mm. So I really missed out on a college experience. But
yeah, I suppose you did, but
I learned a lot about myself too.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe at one point in your life, you would have had to go through the depression.
Yeah,
maybe it was
somehow,
better
right,
than
exactly.
Earlier in your life, so
exactly.
You can deal with it later.
But it's funny, because in college, not only do you not know what you're doing, but then you have depression, let's say, and then you really don't know who to go to.
Right.
So not only do you not know what to do, you're like down, and now you don't. Now you're really down because there's no one there. There's no mom. There's no, you can't. And there was no cell phones.
No support.
I couldn't be. I was like smoke signaling people. No, and then it's embarrassing to have to like say something, and you know. But thank God this is being brought up more and more these days.
So it brought a lot of humility to you, though.
Oh my
right?
God! Because you don't. There wasn't mental counseling. There was. It was there, but there wasn't like you could text someone and be like, "Hey, where can I go?" It was you had to find it out. And when you have depression, you don't want to do anything.
Right.
So
right.
It was very much like, and it's frigid cold, frigid. So we got things just. It was like the perfect storm.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Yeah, but things are being talked about more on college campuses of mental health, and I'm so glad that's being brought up more and more and more.
I know, and people need to understand that in college there's a lot of social pressure.
Oh my
you know?
God, I was
a
so
lot.
Confused. I
yeah,
was like,
you
what
don't know
the
what
hell?
To do.
No,
I think a lot of people go through.
I think that too,
through.
And I think a lot of people think it's supposed to be the best 4 years of your life, and you're like, I feel like dreadful, and so, but it's a very confusing time. I loved college, but I hated college.
Yeah,
but
so
you know,
went right after high school.
I went right after high school, and I went to University of Michigan, and I got an in-state in school tuition because D.C., I live right in D.C., and we don't have a university, but we pay taxes. So George Bush actually did this really cool thing, which I never thought I'd say, and he said any public state school in the country is in-state for D.C. kids.
Oh, wow.
So I paid in-state tuition for Michigan, and I had a great academics. I mean, the academics were outstanding, but the social, the amount of students... I came from a school with no football because it was sexist, and I went to the number one football college football, you know, university, and I was like, I don't even know what football like really was. So I probably a bad match. I got into Vassar and I didn't go, and I bet you know, being with those arty kids would have been easier. You know what I mean? A little bit smaller group.
That's true.
But at least I learned a lot. You know,
exactly.
I learned a
you
lot.
You went to a major school, which I think is a big deal.
Yeah, I did, and I love Michigan. I'm a big fan, and I'm a huge sports fan of theirs, but it's like it brings up a lot of hard memories too.
Yeah,
you know,
I imagine it
so,
does.
Yeah, so
all right, well, our guest is calling now.
Yeah,
so
let's get sexy.
Yes, let's
after
get
that
to our guest now. You know what I did? I just disconnected the call.
Oh, let's not get sexy.
I pressed the wrong button. I'm so sorry, Susan. Call back
to depression. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going to talk to Dr. Susan Edelman. She's from a professor at Stanford.
Ooh.
And it's a long title, so we'll let her say what her title is. But here we go.
She's
okay,
back.
This
Thank
time
God.
We're going to take it. Susan, are you with us?
Hey, yeah, this is Susan.
Yes, Susan. I'm sorry I hung up on you. I pressed the wrong button by mistake.
Rude. No problem.
So thank you for calling us. Susan, is it Edelman or Edelman? Tell us.
Edelman.
Edelman, that's great. Right. That was my first instinct. You're a doctor at Stanford. Tell us what your title is. It's kind of long, and I don't want to butcher it.
I'm an adjunct clinical associate professor. So that means I'm on a voluntary faculty. I'm also like in private practice.
Nice.
I'm a psychiatrist in private practice in Palo Alto.
Well, I should talk to you about my depression.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. What did you say you practice?
Palo Alto, California. Oh, in it's Palo the Alto. City where Stanford is.
Yes, I know Palo Alto very well. In fact, I just started reading the book on Xerox PARC, which is the Palo Alto Research Center.
There you go.
And that's where all the personal computers and everything started there. And that's Palo Alto for you. So I'm familiar with it. If you guys know Silicon Valley and all that, that's where it's at. So, Susan, have you always lived there, or did you move from somewhere else?
I'm from Louisiana originally. I'm a Southern woman.
Oh, wow. And when did you move to California?
Oh, I've lived here for 30 years now.
Oh, okay. So this is home. This is this is
where you... it's a great place to live, as you know.
Yes, awesome. So, great. So we're going to talk a little bit about... being your own brand and so forth, relationships, dating, that sort of thing. Give us a little bit of background. You have a private practice. What do you specialize in?
Women's issues.
Oh, I need you.
Women's issues. Okay.
Hello, Susan.
So I'm a general adult psychiatrist, so I see men and women, but I specialize in women's issues and relationship issues because it's a big problem for women. God, so much has changed, and I think a lot of the changes in society haven't been real helpful for women.
Right. And you're making a distinction that men and women are different, you know, and we established that yesterday. We had a scientist, and we're talking about the science of love and everything. So so women have their own issues that they have to deal with. What are some of them?
Well, I think one of the biggest problems that women have today is that there's so much pressure on them to be sexy and sexual, and it's causing a lot of problems. Now, you've probably heard how it contributes to eating disorders and increasing plastic surgery rates, but did you know that almost 60% of women are unhappy with how they look?
I can imagine that. Wow. Definitely. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's terrible. And did you know that it can hurt your love life, too? Because when you think you have to be sexy and sexual to get what you want from men, you're ignoring your feelings. And that's like disabling your GPS when you're lost in a new city. It doesn't work. Women get what they want from men when they listen to their feelings and do what works for them. And that's what I call being your own brand of sexy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think there's a lot of attention and focus on looks and everything. And, you know, I mean, because, and we were talking about this too, about attraction and everything. People want to be attractive to other people. So I can see that. But what you're saying is people are going beyond just what is normal and become obsessed with the way they look to the point where they can't stand their bodies.
Yes, and I think that it's perpetuated by all this body shaming that's going on. I mean, they're making fun of these gorgeous, you know, skinny celebrities when they eat a little too much or gain a few pounds, and their pictures are on the internet, and people are saying they're fat. And that's about women supporting each other and trying to have healthy self-confidence.
It's very weird because I grew up in, like, I graduated high school 2000, so it was right before Facebook and internet trolls, and even then we had body shaming issues, but I just can't even imagine what it's like for like young kids. I'm sure they're exposed to that kind of body shaming, and now that body shaming is like one of the top words of 2016. I mean, it's crazy.
It's very disturbing, and it's not going to make it easier for women to be more confident. It's just lowering their confidence and making it harder for them to stand up to situations that are potentially dangerous and also just not good for them. Because now things are so sexualized that I think especially younger women, they're not sure they want to say to a guy, well, that's a personal question if he says something about sex, because they feel like they're a prude.
Right, I was going to say, so the first word was prude. That was the first word I thought of too. Wow. Like, guys, if you're not open to being as sexual as they are, that's the first word you hear. Totally.
Wow.
That's terrible, because these guys, how are they going to learn empathy for women? And, you know, how to understand what women are going through unless women are brave enough to say, hey, you're out of line here.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Okay, so this leads to the question then. Then how soon after you meet do you think it's advisable to have sex with the person you met?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I have a few questions that I think every woman should ask herself before she even thinks of having sex with a new man. And the number one question is, does he want what I want? Mm. Because before you have sex with someone new, you really want to know him well enough to know if you've got the same goals for the relationship. Mm. Do you both want something serious? Or is one or both of you just looking for a casual fling?
Because mm-hmm. if you're both yeah. doing that, that's a kind of okay. It's just you need to be both on the same page. Is that right?
Mm. Yeah, and I think that a lot of people feel awkward even discussing it. So if you don't feel like you can bring it up with him, maybe you're just not ready to have sex.
Yeah. If you can't talk about it, don't do it.
Yeah.
But I think it's not an easy topic these days because women are afraid they're going to scare the guy off. And people, and a lot of women feel pressured to have sex within 3 dates. Have you heard of this 3-date rule?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not good for women.
No.
Mm.
You can't find out if you trust a guy in 3 dates.
No. That's interesting because it is a lot of the 3 dates almost is like a Sex in the City saying where you like first you meet, then you have the second date. By 3rd date, you obviously have to have sex. And it's almost like an obvious thing, which is so dreadful for women.
Mm.
It's yeah. dreadful, you're right.
Very
but,
detrimental.
But, you know, I mean, many people do go for that. I don't think you can generalize and say that, you know, especially if both are not necessarily looking for a long-term relationship or something, then, you know, and they're attracted sexually in a profound way, I don't see a reason to just sit there and wait, you know? I mean, if don't you think if there's, like, mutual attraction, you just kind of do it?
Well, I think that it's good for men.
Yeah,
but
right.
Is it good for women if okay. they can't tell Getcha. If they can trust a man in 3 dates to go ahead and have sex?
Getcha.
Maybe not, because then people get attached. You probably had your expert on talking about
yes.
the science of attachment.
Yes, so. Right after sex. It's a totally different thing. It's because women have a different chemical.
That's true.
And
that's
you
true.
Don't. We so it's important. That. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I know. Well, we view things differently, and maybe somehow we need to meet in the middle, you know. And they tend to say that men use love to get sex and women use sex to get love. But I'd like to think that's not the case, you know. But maybe there's some compromises there. I would have to say that. But I think we do look for different things, and somehow we have to align what we want. Wouldn't you say, Susan?
Well, I think that you can't make a generality for everybody,
right?
There are some couples that probably have sex on the first date, and they say to each other, you know, we are serious about each other, and we're going to make it work, and they do.
Right.
So, but I hear so many women who are hooking up or having casual sex, and it doesn't end well.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like it.
It doesn't
and
go
sometimes
well.
They underestimate how hurt they're going to be. They think, well, it's just something casual and it's no big deal. And then they end up getting really hurt, so they mm-hmm. can't even anticipate what it's going to be like. And they're ashamed that they're having those feelings because, you know, they're modern women and they should be
right.
okay with casual
right.
sex.
That's true. So mm-hmm. what's some steps that you can say to a woman who's trying to own, let's say, her own brand of sexy? What's like the first step to do if you're someone that has casual sex a lot and it's really detrimental to you and you're trying to be a modern woman, just like you said, what's the first step?
Well, I think the first step is to realize that media and peer pressure solutions just might not be right for you.
Mm.
You got to figure out what's right for you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that can take a lot of courage to stand up to your friends and say, well, I'm not into casual sex or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really important to figure out what's right for you as a person because
mm-hmm.
you always have a choice. And you know, I think the other thing people are forgetting is that, and this is all about being your own brand of sexy, but taking it slow can be sexy.
Right, exactly.
That's a turn on for people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm.
Like, I know, for instance, like the really good guys that I've met, if a girl had casual sex with them on the first or second date, it would not have led them to a long term. That's not what they're interested in. They were looking for a long term relationship, and that turns them off.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case, you know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm from a different generation or something, but I can say in my past, after, you know, when I had sex a second or third date, it lasted a long time.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily the case, you know. It depends, I think, on how you both feel at the same time. And I think what Dr. Susan is trying to say is a woman should not do it because of the pressure that she's expected to do it.
But I do know guys that would think it's too soon, just like a woman would think it's too soon, that if a woman was interested in the second date, it would turn them off because it's just too soon.
And even if you're a guy and you think, okay, I'd like to have sex the second or third date, but if she doesn't want to, you have to respect that and understand that you will get it, but build the foundation first.
Yeah, but I know guys that want the foundation first, which is maybe rare, but I do know a lot of guys.
No, I'm saying, I'm saying that some people do want the foundation
first.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the guy will agree and say, yeah, let's wait a little bit.
Yeah. And then there are the extremes that are these toxic cultures where guys expect sex.
Oh, yeah.
And the women feel like they've got to go along with it to even possibly have a date or get a guy. There was an article in Vanity Fair about Tinder and the dating apps. And a lot of these cultures are very toxic to women. And the guys just brag about how many women they can get to sleep with them.
Wow.
And this is true on some college campuses, too.
That's very true. The dating apps are so like swipe right, swipe left, have sex, move on. It's very like fast paced, the dating apps.
And it's hard for a woman to find a guy who's not bombarding her with sex requests.
Yeah, sure.
And
to
find the good guys, because some of those guys will say, yeah, I'm looking for a relationship, but they're not really.
So, I mean, so what's the answer here? I mean, some guys look for, they don't look for relationships. They want to have sex. And women in general are going to say, no, you can't. What's going to happen? I mean, you know, guys will walk around angry and frustrated all the time, you know.
Well, it depends. See, what happens is if you wait past 3 dates or a month, then you find the guy who's really interested in a relationship, who's really into you.
That's true.
And the guy who's not will disappear.
Okay.
So in a way, it protects women from these guys who really just want sex and that's all they want.
Right.
But, but you know, if a guy really wants a long-term relationship and is really, really likes you, he's not going to say, well, forget it.
He'll wait.
I'm not going to keep going out with you, would he?
No, he'll invest. He'll invest in it and stick around, I think. And that makes a lot of sense, you know. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, you also have a book. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, my book is, I've got two books. One book is Be Your Own Brand of Sexy, A New Sexual Revolution for Women, and that will teach you how to figure out what's right for you as a person. And then I have another e-book. It's called What to Say to Men on a Date, so that it's very ways to say no that are playful and fun and will help you figure out how to get what you want.
That's a great book. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, and men need to read that too.
Yeah, that's a great way of saying, instead of just being fearful of saying no, have it playful and sexy still.
Yeah.
And if your listeners want to take a quiz to find out if they're being their own brand of sexy, I have that on my website, BeYourOwnBrandOfSexy.com.
Cool.
Sounds good. Wow, this is exciting and stuff. Now, I also wanted to ask you, I mean, in the pitch for the interview and everything, they mentioned the upcoming movies, 50 Shades Darker. We talked a little bit about that. And what do you have to tell us about that? I mean, the thing is, I guess the debate is whether it's empowering to women or degrading to women to engage in that kind of sexual conduct.
I'm so glad you asked me about 50 Shades, because, you know, those books and movies, on the surface, they appear to be fantasy and fun, but as a psychiatrist and advocate for women, I'm really worried about the impact this has and will have on women in our society, because it's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I think 50 Shades is changing our expectations about sex.
Mm.
You know, 60 years ago, women didn't have trouble saying no to sex. A man really felt he got lucky if a woman would have sex with him.
And true.
Now, you know, forget it. Women are prude if they don't have sex.
That's
so true. 50 Shades is pressuring them to say yes to a whole new arena of sexual activities where violence against women is normalized. I don't think we want to normalize violence against women. We already have a big problem with rape college campuses and elsewhere. We have sex scandals in the news all the time with violence, sexual violence against women. I don't think this is something we want to keep going with and make it look more and more normal, because sometimes what happens is the more you're exposed to something shocking, the more you get used to it, and it's not shocking anymore.
What would you say about women who want that kind of fetish or S&M? What would you say, in just devil's advocate, in terms of those women who enjoy the freedom of letting their fetishes be fetishes?
Well, you know, I think there are a lot of reasons why it's appealing to women. And if you're in a relationship with somebody that's safe and you're not really scared of getting hurt necessarily, it can be freeing to have the man make all the sexual decisions and tell you what to do, because you're freed from the burden of caretaking, which is kind of a block to sexuality if you feel like you're always got to worry about what does he need, right? What do I have to do for him?
Right.
It can be hard to focus on your own pleasure. So I think that's an element of it. For some women, it's kind of like, it's all about me right now.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah. I know, and you have all, and they show that you know, they play all kinds of games and everything. But the question is, though, so if that's the reality of it, the way you're saying, why is it so popular? Why are so many women suddenly discovering sexuality like this and thinking, wow, this is a fantasy I should have?
Well, I think that it's appealing to women to have their sexual fantasies and to own their sexual fantasies. And of course, it's a good thing. You know, you want people to be open about it, but I don't know that you want the movie to be normal, to be the normal.
Right.
So it's hard, right, to teach children what is healthy and normal and to explore your sexual fantasy.
Right, because where's the line, right? It's like, where can you make the line? But I do understand when it becomes normalized, then let's say Cosby allegations don't become so crazy. It becomes less shocking each time it's more and more popularized. But I also feel like if you want to have sex this way, you should be able to. So it's a confusing line.
Yes, but do we want it to be so super public all the time? And because what are we teaching children? We're telling these 20-year-old girls in college that, hey, you know, you're a prude if you want to do this now.
But we're not teaching children that. These are not books for children.
But these 20-year-olds aren't protected from this. They're exposed to it.
Right.
And the more sexualized their culture is, the more they're the ones that are getting hurt by it.
So you refer to the college kids, is that what you're referring to? Because you said kids or our children. We don't want to teach our children these things. And what I'm saying is a child should not be exposed to this anyway.
But how can we protect them from it when it's all on the news?
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the stuff that just happened with the presidential election, with Clinton and Trump. It's everywhere. You can't protect them from that.
No, that's true. But what I'm saying is, it's like, as far as I mean, I see this as adult culture, adult fiction, whatever you want to call it. And Tori and I were saying that, you know, what is the damage for two people that are consenting to engage in S&M and things like that, if it works for them, you know, and they can keep it in the private bedroom, nobody has to know.
But I guess she's saying it's become so public with the movie, it's not private anymore.
Well, it is for the people themselves.
Well, I think Fifty Shades of Grey really did become like a pop culture situation in terms of, but like more so than adult fiction, it kind of spread down to the news and jokes and SNL. And like, I feel like Fifty Shades became like almost everyone. It didn't stay private, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But
it's just hard to not have it affect the younger generation adversely because they don't have the benefit of many years of experience, and in general, they may be more influenced by media and peer pressure than somebody who's 50 or 60 years old.
That's
even
true.
Though we are probably too, right?
Yeah.
But they are definitely in the trenches with that, and they're very it's harder sometimes when you're young to stand up to someone who says you're a prude.
Right.
Yeah. No,
or maybe
absolutely.
Later you can go, this person's just got problems.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you make a lot of sense. Dr. Susan Edelman, tell people how they can find you, how they can get a hold of you. You practice in the Bay Area, I would imagine.
Yes, I'm in Palo Alto, and you can contact me. You can reach me on my website, beyourownbrandofsexy.com. I have a blog and some quizzes that you can take and other free information if you guys are interested.
Sounds great. Awesome. Well, Dr. Susan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're a lot of fun, full of information, and we're grateful to you for sharing this with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful being with you. I appreciate being on.
Okay, thank you. All the best to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Interesting.
Yeah, some controversy there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but yeah, I mean,
it is a confusing line between really being allowed to be two consenting adults, which, you know, of course I agree with, and also popularizing, you know, hardcore sex so that if you do want to say no, it's not so it you do sound like a prude.
Right.
So that is hard. That's a line that you don't want to face. And especially if, you know, your friends have someone reading 50 Shades of Grey and you're telling your friends and it spreads to younger and younger kids. And then you grow up and it's 15 and it's maybe someone wants to have sex with you. It's sometimes it's hard to say no.
Yeah.
So I understand that line is confusing, but I, you know, I also think if you want to play, play, you know, you're an adult.
Yeah.
So
play the game, read the book, do whatever you want, you know, but definitely, I mean, I can see your point about children and everything, but we can't make all the decisions based on what will the children think. I mean, we have our own freedoms as well as adults, I think.
I agree with you. You know? I agree with you. Yeah.
But I liked many of the points you said, and I think the most important thing is women shouldn't feel pressure to have sex.
Yeah, I love
early on.
Right. And I like the idea of your own brand of sexy is when you know what works for you. I think that's so smart. I know for a fact I am a long-term person. Like I am a monogamous. I just go for I love the long-term. But and that is sexy to me.
Yeah.
But it's so I know a friend of mine is sexy on one, you know, first night, you know, one night stand. So that's sexy. So whatever you find is your best sexy is still sexy. Right. I like that idea.
And there are women that I think like sex the first,
I mean,
second,
oh, yeah,
or third time.
I know tons of women, but I also know women that think that they have to like that.
That's true.
Right.
That's so, right. But that's the problem.
And that's not sexy. Find what works for you, and that's what turns guys on. Because it's working. It's confidence and inner confidence. It's working for you.
Right.
You know?
And the point is also, I think it lets you filter out the guys, like she said.
Yeah.
If they're sticking around, then they want you for more than just
absolutely,
sex.
Absolutely. You know? And you have had a boundary now that says, I'm not going to allow that. And I think that's brave and hard for women these days. I mean, the best thing she said, I think, especially, is that it is become, the world has become so sexualized that when you can't, when you say no, you become the prude.
That's true, that's hard
for women.
Yeah, but we are sexual creatures, you know. I mean, you can't ignore. Sometimes I feel that people try to run away from our sexuality or from the fact that we're sexual beings.
But,
you know?
but remember, but men and women are different. So for men, like women, it can be more harmful.
Right.
It can be really detrimental. Yeah. But for a guy, I get what you're saying. It's like we're super sexual. Let us be. But for
female, they need to really vet the males,
because chemically stuff is different. Is happening that's different than men, and so they have to protect themselves.
Exactly. And you know, and women and females, really, I mean, the male is programmed to spread the seed as much as possible for the next generation. The female is supposed to find a male to mate with to continue her generation, you know. And so they want the best genes, they want the best,
males also want the best females in terms of mating. It's not like just the quantity, they also want, like, they
but
also
why
want,
does it matter if you screw like 60 different females, you'll have something
because
good.
If you that's why women men like women with bigger boobs, because they can feed their children and they will grow stronger. So there are specifics for men. It's not like more quantity. The selfish gene is all about men passing it along and women passing it along. But you look for traits that will then inherently make your children healthier.
That's true.
So it's not just anyone.
Right.
Unless, you know, you don't care.
But for men, it is anyone.
I don't know about it.
No, listen, from a man's point of view, I can tell you, men will take sex at just about any
But that's a generalization.
It's not. I'm telling you.
I think it is. You can't say men are like this.
No, okay. I'll say many men. Is that good? Most men in my life that I've met... Okay, we'll talk about sex anytime. We'll
but I know men that don't do that.
Okay, but not in front of you.
No, you're like, no, I know guys that are just like, think that's really
what do you know what guys say among themselves when you're not there?
Yeah, you okay. Don't. Okay, I just don't, I can't generalize like that.
It's just because, just like the same way that I can't say, I can't intervene in what you and other women can say, because I don't know what you guys say behind our backs.
Sure.
So I can say the same thing. I can say men are sexualized, you know, and, you know, I mean, I can't, I've yet to meet anybody, any man that won't talk about sex with you if you want to. If you start talking about it, they're not going to go, oh, well, let's change the subject.
No, but that's different than every man wants to have just like ongoing quantities of sex.
Okay, well, first of all, not every man, but right. But I think we're programmed that way. Okay, that's my opinion.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm saying this is a fact. That's my opinion from what I've learned so far in my life.
Totally fair.
Okay?
Totally fair.
So that's all I'm saying. And I get criticism from women sometimes that listen, when I say that, but the point is that what men say, I can safely say on the radio that what men say behind closed doors or when they're alone, women would not necessarily approve of.
But you can't say that about all men.
I'm not saying all men.
Oh, okay. You just said men.
That I've met. Okay?
I see. Okay.
Or let's say, okay, so I can generalize. Okay, but I don't know if it's many or most men. I haven't measured. But I can just say in general, I just think we're programmed that way to share these needs for sexual release or something or some kind of a catharsis, you know. I don't know. Okay. What do I know?
This we'll agree to disagree. Friend.
Okay. All right. Until one time you'll get maybe to be a fly on the wall.
I mean, I know guys talk like sex is hardcore. I get that. But I also know guys would think that that's like a waste of conversation and would rather talk about film or movies or pop culture or even
no,
when
of
they're
course,
together.
But why, yeah, but I'm not saying the sex would be the entire conversation.
Right.
You know, but if a pretty woman walks by or something, guys comment. They're not going to whistle at her or anything, but they'll look at each other and then go, wow, did you see that? You know?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, but that's different than, I guess, yes, that's different. But women also do that, man.
I'm not saying hardcore talk. I'm not saying about that. I'm just saying in general, guys think about sex all the time. You know, so what can I say? We have a phone call coming in.
Okay.
Guys, I didn't want to interrupt the conversation. Call back in and stuff. It's just the phone calls always digress. But go ahead, call in. I know you've been trying to call for a few minutes. Okay, so we beat that one to death, yeah. Right? Okay. All right. Good news for Instagram users. I guess they decided to finally let users disable comments. So now, I guess you couldn't do that before.
No,
Instagram.
You can't. You didn't have control.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know this.
So now you can do away with the trolls and everything.
Well, so Amy Schumer, just discussing this, Amy Schumer is picked to be the new Barbie in the new Barbie movie.
Really?
Yeah. And so, of course, what happened was the trolls went crazy yesterday.
Yes.
So she posted a picture of her in a bathing suit on the beach. And she was like, these trolls are the exact reason I need to do this Barbie movie.
Right.
So, but, you know, that's interesting that now you can disable.
Yeah.
Just when he becomes president, man. Damn it, such a troll. Anyway,
but I would think that you would want that kind of control because it's your image, it's your page, it's your account, and if you don't want people to say shit, you just destroy them.
But then the idea of social media is kind of gone. The idea of social media is anyone can comment on, that's the idea, it's social.
No, but what if you feel someone is being inappropriate on your page and you don't want your friends to be exposed to it?
You can report, but it has been hard in the past to get rid of that.
Why? You can just on Facebook?
No, I mean on Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
No, but I'm saying on Facebook you can do it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so why not on Instagram, especially since Facebook now owns Instagram. So that's why they did this, you know? But at any rate, I mean,
he's amazing. Taking over the world.
He is, you know. But it's amazing how I think Instagram has totally surpassed Twitter, at least from what I'm seeing.
It's interesting how they each have their platform and they're sort of they rise and then they, you know, Mesa, they plateau.
Plateau.
That's right. So you go, you know, Facebook. Then I remember being on Facebook and my cousin who's 15 was like, oh, no one uses that. We only use Instagram.
Right.
And then it's like Snapchat. No
Snapchat
one uses Instagram.
Stuff,
yeah. So it's always the next one. You
it
know.
Is. It is.
But I'm comfortable with my three. I don't know anymore. I don't want to know anymore.
I know.
I have too much to. I don't need to tell you anymore.
Too much, right?
What am
it's
I eating a tiramisu? And you really need to know about it, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true.
It's getting to where now they're just walking down the street filming themselves, doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least what you post is not really narcissistic stuff. You'd be amazed at how much narcissism is going on that side.
And that's that's the vanity and narcissism is taking over this, that the America is becoming more and more. I mean, look who we elected. I mean, he's the king of narcissistic personality disorder. But I mean, it's becoming the microcosm of America. Yeah. It's selfie, 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 selfie. And that it will turn a generation.
It really is, you know?
Turn a generation.
And everybody becomes a model. Everybody is becoming a star. And look,
no one focuses on anyone else.
No.
There's a new Amazon Go. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, look at the trailer. It's an Amazon Go store. It's not a trailer. It's a quick movie about, not a movie, quick preview of what they're going to do. And it's these stores where you walk in like a supermarket. You can buy anything you want. And you don't check out.
Oh,
you just walk right
paper.
Out. Exactly.
Yes.
Now, not only are we losing millions of jobs by doing that, you now no longer have to communicate with anybody.
That's true, right?
So it's become this like soulless world where it's just yourself, probably Snapchatting yourself in the Amazon Go store. And it has micro sensors and algorithms that will add up and it goes to your Amazon account.
Yeah.
So it's just a lack of complete conversation now.
You know what the enigma is in all of this is that we have become like, I mean, first of all, we live among so many people, you know, I mean, we've gotten more crowded and yet we're more isolated. More isolated.
And the global community has never been closer with the work of the internet. And yet we're all so isolated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting. It's for a psychiatrist or a philosopher, even in this time, interesting times we're going through.
They really are, you know.
Yeah, you wonder where they're going to end up,
or
to be
historians,
honest.
Historians, you know, I wonder how people are going to put our current politicians.
That's what I mean.
In history
and
books.
Also the idea of this change into sort of artificial intelligence is we're getting more and more isolated, more and more robotic,
yes.
less and less social, more and more programmed to do stuff on your own, and that leads into implanting cyber parts into yourself. The phone will be in your arm, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the camera will be in your eye. That turns into robots.
Yeah. And to connected people, where people are going to be able to monitor everything we do as it is with our phone, where we can be monitored on anything we do.
All the time. But it becomes this more isolation turns into this sort of artificial intelligence of things happen without any interaction. I mean, weird.
A lot of talk about how virtual reality, augmented reality, all this stuff is really... you're right. It's leading to more towards the individual and more isolation.
Yeah, singularity. I mean, you really should watch Black Mirror because they really do a great job. It's all about different philosophies of that and crazy stories of, you know, how far do we go in this race where we're all alone? Like one time, Robert Downey Jr. bought the rights to this one episode where everyone in the world, it's like 2052, and everyone in the world, whatever you see is recorded in your eye and you can watch it back. So if you have an argument, you can say, no, you didn't say that, and click and look at a screen and see what happened,
right?
Which turns into a horrible thing when things you don't want to remember come back, or you can erase things. So it's this power control thing,
right? And I'm reading a lot of novels different combinations of this,
you know,
mind reading. In this one book, this guy is able to access the internet after they experimented on him or something,
like through his own body,
through his own brain.
I see.
Now he can have anything that he access to anything he wants.
Yeah.
Think how powerful that is. You know?
Terrifying.
I know.
Dude, let's go back. Just so scary. But I mean, in some respects, we've never been more technologically advanced with our medical studies. So in some respects, it's great. We're saving more lives. We're doing more things. But it just, there's that line you don't want to cross into robots, you know,
right?
Where we're Wall-E all of a sudden.
I know. Yeah. And it's worrisome. It really is. I don't know how things are going to turn out. And like we said the other day with Daniel and Bayou here, if you remember, we talked about, do we want to bring kids into this world?
Yes, that's all I think about a lot of the time.
Really,
does this
then
go?
Don't wait too much.
I know.
Start now before
it's
going to
get much, much worse.
It's not going to be better. You know?
I know. I'm like, what's some good news, man? Like, you know, it's true. It's like, what? But, you know, you always want to bring kids in. But do you? Because then they show the planet is also, I mean, there's a lot going on. So it's very, very, very confusing.
Yeah, I know.
For a new mom or trying to be a new mom, you're like, we're on the edge of glory. It's like a Gaga song. So it's confusing. It's very, the world is very confusing. Trump just made Time Man of the Year.
Yes.
Yeah, that's confusing. But
he
should have been.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
look, the most, the one that impacted
for sure.
The news for
no, like, and Hitler, Putin, they've all been on it.
Okay, we get it.
Stalin.
We get it. Okay.
Seabiscuit was also on there.
Yeah, we get it. Listen, I strongly think you need your own political show so you can let it all out, you know?
Let it all. Well, maybe that's what it's called, Sam.
I mean, I'm surprised.
Tori lets it all out.
I'm surprised you don't put a lot of it online because you're very outspoken about these issues, you know? And I feel you need an outlet to really let all that venom out.
It's not venom. It's just worry.
Okay, well, it depends where you're looking at it.
It's true. It's true.
For the snake, it's not a venom either, you know? It's not poison.
It's true. No, I do. I think, but when I go on Facebook, that's all my feed is people releasing the same out. So for me, it's just what all my friends are saying.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's funny. No, yeah. True. No.
It depends what you surround yourself
with. You're exactly
with, you
know? Right.
And I got rid of a lot of the noise, I must tell you.
I think a lot of people did. They edited their, and then I felt bad taking away people because you're like, well, you should allow both sides.
Exactly. But you know what? I have, except the most militant ones.
The ones that are almost trolls, I'm like, I can't watch this.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's too much.
If you had some guy to Nazi salute, I'm going to take you away from my Facebook feed, you know?
I don't need that.
Yeah, but I try and keep some balance.
Yeah, exactly. You need to know what's going on.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
You know, and that's why I watch CNN and all that and Fox. And actually, I don't watch Fox at all. I watch CNN.
Yeah.
Mostly just because I feel at least the reporting is good.
Mm-hmm.
Their opinions, I don't know, but
you like the reporting.
I don't know. CNN's been like part of in my blood since I was a kid. You
CNN
know,
so. Is a very global, international, the news you go to.
Right.
Absolutely.
But you know what's interesting? I remember when they actually launched Turner Broadcasting and CNN and stuff.
Remember 24-hour news? People were like,
yes,
what?
Yes.
You didn't. By the way, if you're young and listening, you didn't used to have that. It would be like the 10 o'clock news.
Exactly. That's when it just when cable started.
Yeah. So now you have to fill that news with terrible things all over the world. So it's gotten much, much worse. Again, why have children?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Oh, we're back to the full circle.
Yeah. And full circle. Let's wrap up Pearl Harbor Day. I guess we can just salute all the
absolutely
the troops, all the soldiers that fought and died and survived. Everybody there. I mean, it was very heroic to be there at the time, you know.
And they're just releasing photographs that had otherwise been not classified. So there's not a lot of images that day. That there are a lot, but there were a lot more.
Yeah.
So we're allowing. So go look at that and learn your history.
Sounds good. All right, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in today. Stay tuned for State of the Oceans if you're into environment and so forth. And thank you, Tori.
Absolutely.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori only on LA Talk Radio.